You're listening to UCF Knights Talk, a UCF Knights podcast with the Orlando Sentinel, Shannon Green. Get the latest on the hottest topics involving the Knights from our unique perspective. And now, on with the show.
And welcome to another episode of UCF Knights Talk. I'm your host, Matt Marshall. I'm here with Shannon Green. We're at the lovely Hyatt Regency Hotel here in Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. It is Friday as we record this. Saturday. The days all blend together. It's Saturday as we record this. Shannon, today we got the UCF defensive players and the Auburn offensive players from media availability this morning. Let's kind of jump into what did we kind of find out and see today?
Well, the Auburn offensive players were brought out first today. I thought that Austin Golson made an interesting comment. He's one of their offensive linemen. He said that Shaquem Griffin would probably be the best pass rusher he will have seen all season. And he's seen some good ones, he emphasized. Shaquem Griffin is a guy they obviously have their eyes on. They know that Shaquem is very active on the field. You know, he can be on the line of scrimmage, off the line of scrimmage. You know, Jared... Stidham, yeah. He also said that, you know, you have to keep your eyes on him because that's a guy that can make plays happen. So I think he's a player that the Auburn offensive players definitely have their eyes on.
Yeah, I think so for sure. Kerryon Johnson, the talented Auburn running back, was there today. He'd been kind of banged up going into the SEC championship game on December 2nd. He had some sore ribs. And I think it was, I don't know if they actually said it was a separated shoulder, but I think he had a bad shoulder injury. He said he declared he was healthy, 100% healthy. Now, when you ask him later on, is anyone actually 100% healthy?
Right, because nobody.
He gave you a really good answer on that end, right, when he said that basically it's not that no one's really 100% healthy.
What do you think? Yeah, he said he hadn't been 100% healthy since high school because, you know, truthfully speaking, we talk about injuries and whatnot, but – you know, most players are playing injured all the time, if we really want to be honest about this. So to a certain degree, you're like, man, you know, are you ever really healthy?
Well, you know, it's been 17 weeks since the first game of the season. So as you can imagine, these guys are banged up and bruised. They've seen their fair share of, right. You know, and, you know, to get to this point, I think obviously for Auburn, Kerryon Johnson is a big piece of what they need to have success offensively. So to have him say, I'm almost 100% healthy and I'm ready to go, I think that's a big deal for them. And I think that's good news for Auburn and maybe, as I wrote today, maybe kind of bad news for UCF because here's a guy that when he's healthy is one of the best running backs in college football, especially in the SEC. He was the offensive player of the year. So
you mentioned something interesting earlier to me today as well about how Kerryon said that had this game been a little bit sooner, you know, then now that he may not be playing in this game.
Yeah, he mentioned that that if this game were to take place, let's say, a week after the SEC championship or even maybe a week and a half after, he didn't think he would be ready to go. He think this would be a different story. But now that they've had time to rest, he feels like this is all ready to go. He's excited. Although I did ask him, how big is it to get that first hit, that first tackle? And he said, you know, listen, I'm not going to lie. I want to get that first hit and tackle over with because I want to see how I'm going to be able to you know, kind of bounce away and get me kind of ready to go and energize. So I think he's ready to go. He sounded like he was really good. We talked to a lot of other players. Ryan Davis, for instance, the talented Auburn wide receiver who actually grew up with Shaquem in St. Petersburg, Florida, talked a little bit about, you know, having stories, you know, hearing stories about this young boy who had this, you know, had lost his hand and was still able to play and have these, you know, still – was very active in football and Little League and stuff like that. Eventually would go on and play. They would become friends and actually played Little League with them or against him and actually went to the same high school at Lakeland High School. So interesting. I think a lot of the players kind of talked a little bit about Shaquem. It was definitely on their minds today.
For sure. Going back to something that you said a minute ago, you were talking about that first hit. I kind of chuckled to myself because I was thinking of something Jamias Pittman said earlier today. A reporter had asked him about, you know, thinking about Monday and the stage, and he said, yeah, I'm getting butterflies. You're giving me butterflies. And someone had asked him about being nervous, and in a joking, you know, fashion, he said, if I were any more nervous, I'd be scared. he gets nervous before every game because he gets so amped And also, he's a senior, so every game for him is a very meaningful game. So, you know, when I was talking about the first hit, he was saying, obviously, you know, when he gets that first hit on the field, all those nerves eventually go away. But, you know, this is a defense that could be ready for this stage. And Trey Neal and Shaquem Griffin and several defensive players that we spoke with today, they played it down only because they said, listen, we've been in big games before. You know, we've been in big moments before. And I wrote about this today. You know, there were four games that they almost lost this season. Mm-hmm. The Navy game, SMU, USF, and then obviously Memphis in the American Athletic Conference Championship. And every single one of those games, toward the end of the game, no matter how many points they may have been giving up at the time, because obviously Pittman said they were bothered about giving up almost 100 points in the last two games, they always came up with a big stop, mm-hmm. a big play, an interception, a forced fumble, you know, something to really sort of end the game. So I definitely think they're trying not to make too much of this stage, although they do recognize this is a different moment. You're playing in an NFL stadium. It's inside the dome. You know, it's a different deal. One of the things that was also interesting to me today in terms of what Shaquem Griffin said was in reference to the coaching staff. Obviously, there are a lot of Nebraska reporters down here covering Scott Frost and the staff and all things Nebraska.
Well, there's no bowl game. Nebraska's not in a bowl game, so it's really you have to kind of find
this is their bowl game. Right? Yes. Yeah, I get it. So someone had asked him about, which was a great question, actually. They asked him, when did you guys know that you had the same coaching staff in December that you had, you know, earlier in the year before you knew they were going to Nebraska? And Shaquem talked about how, you know, we knew pretty early on it was the same staff because before they even started specifically game planning for Auburn, the coaches already had a full scouting report ready. So they were like really a week ahead on this. So they came into practice ready. And then we've all heard the stories about how Scott Frost has been on airplanes flying across the country back and forth. And I know some UCF fans roll their eyes because the last thing they want to hear about is, you know, the violin playing for the $35 million man going to Nebraska. But listen, Shaquem Griffin, he gave us an interesting nugget. He said one day at practice, Frost was so sick that he literally threw up. Because you got to remember, you're traveling cross country.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to California to Florida, and then you're getting on and off planes. You're game planning. You're mentally and physically just absolutely drained. So he threw up at practice one day because he was so sick from that. And I think all the coaches in general, you know, they've been a little bit defensive about their position in terms of how they've game prepped for this because they feel like, you know, we're back here because we want to be back here and we care about these kids and don't question, you know, our work ethic and us coming up with a game plan to get them ready. And I mean, when you hear the reasons why, it makes sense as to why they would be a slight, you know, slightly defensive about that. So I thought that was something interesting that also came out of that media availability hearing that.
I also think if you think about it, and again, not to dwell too much on Frost, but you know, Frost did have to go to Lincoln, the weather in Lincoln, I think someone told us one of the Nebraska writers that it was -7 degrees or something in there. You know, so you go from Lincoln to do a press conference and then you turn around and you fly back to Orlando where it's 72 and then you're back, you know, I mean, there's right. a lot of opportunities obviously to get sick and you're going to wear it out. And I think there's some of that because there's so much attention paid on this game, a little bit about Frost leaving to go to Nebraska. That's why they got to be a little bit defensive as a coaching staff because I'm sure that story keeps being brought up. I guarantee when Frost gets in front of the podium or, you know, tomorrow or Sunday, excuse me, that question will probably come up at some point. Now, whether it's fair or not to have you ask, someone will ask about the kind of the stress of having to go through it all. But
it'll be interesting, though, if some of the Peach Bowl officials tell us, you know, hey, please, out of respect to him, don't. Because, you know, that
yes.
happened. And
yes.
I think it was the original press conference. They asked us to not ask questions about that.
Yes.
So
you'll see what happens. If they're allowed or not or whatever. But, you know, I'm sure that's a little bit of it.
Right.
We also, interesting, you and I and a bunch of the Orlando media went out to practice, got to see UCF practice, all what 10 or 15 minutes of it they allowed us to see. We actually, ironically, went out to Georgia Tech, where the Knights practice. Talk a little bit about how that kind of was ironic to be at that location today.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's ironic when you consider that Georgia Tech was the game on the schedule that got dropped because of the hurricane.
Yes.
Which you were here for that.
Yes.
So you know more of the details on.
Yeah, you know, when Hurricane Irma hit, you know, I mean, obviously the Memphis game got kind of rescheduled and was canceled, and then initially the Georgia Tech game was not initially, but it was canceled, you know, because Scott Frost had sent all the players home and all the coaches, you know, they wanted to give these guys opportunities to go home and be with their families. You know, of course, some of them who lived in the state of Florida who were still dealing with the impact of the hurricane. They were trying to get them. They didn't. And Frost told us he didn't feel right to have these guys kind of stuck in Orlando, forcing them to do this and then go prepare for a game that they really, you know, might not have their mind on, you know. And I think it was an unpopular decision for some UCF fans. It was an unpopular decision, I know, for the Georgia Tech fans. I think they wanted to play that game. I think they felt like, you know, even if Orlando didn't play it, even if UCF didn't play it in Orlando, they felt like they could have made the trip up here to Atlanta to play the game itself and done that. But whatever it went to, that game wasn't played, and now they were, you know, they were in their nice indoor practice facility today, getting prepared for this game, which you never know what should have, could have, would have if they had that Georgia Tech game, if they had won the game, lost the game, who knows where they would have put them. But it definitely was interesting to be there, yeah, and to see them going through the practice
at George O'Leary's old stomping grounds.
That's another yes, exactly.
You know, which ironically, again, the last time they were in a New Year's Day bowl game was when George O'Leary took them to the Bowl. Lots
yes.
of iron. You know, another note about the indoor practice facility that I found to be interesting today was, you know, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium is it's a dome, so yeah. It's inside. So the reason why that becomes interesting is because that affects sound. This is going to be a sellout game. There's mm-hmm. more than 70,000 fans. When you're inside, the sound echoes, and that can start to impact communication on the field. So I think, you know, obviously they probably practice indoors as well to mimic the environment that's going to happen in the game. You know, Georgia Tech has an indoor practice facility as well. So the coaches have actually been blasting the music really,
yes.
really loud. I mean, they normally do that anyway, but they've turned it up a notch because they want the players to be able to, you know, have some sense of sound awareness, you know, in this game.
And ironically, we were told that one of the reporters told us that Auburn did the opposite. They didn't run any music whatsoever in that situation. So it would be interesting, but let's not forget Auburn was here a couple weeks ago for, you know, the SEC championship. So they kind of have an idea what they're going to face a little bit there. So it is a very interesting kind of contrast and comparison between these two programs, how yeah. they handled getting ready for this game.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely think the environment plays into it. Pittman even said earlier, Jamias Pittman said earlier that the air was different in there. I mean, just on the first day, he said it was a little bit cold in there and they had to adjust to it. I mean, listen, when you walk into that stadium for the very first time, and that was my first time seeing it as well, it is a little bit overwhelming. You walk in there, it's a beautiful, beautiful facility, first of all. You know, it's big. It's an NFL stadium. The lights are different. It can be a little bit overwhelming for, you know, players who haven't played in a stadium like that. So I definitely think getting those earlier practices in were very helpful. And I was going to mention this in a story probably, you know, tomorrow or whenever, but even concerning the lights, you know, it's a lot brighter in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normally with UCF, the lights are a little bit more outdoors.
Yeah.
So there can be a little bit of a glare that can affect somebody like a Mike Hughes, you know, who has to catch and run it back.
Yeah.
Because there were times that Trey Neal said there were times in practice when they lost tracking the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I think getting those 3 days in there allow them to kind of get the rhythm and the reps that they needed to sort of work out some of the environmental kinks that they have to deal with.
I will say, having been there for the opener against Alabama and FSU, the new car smell that I smelled in the first
Ooh,
game was
nice.
Gone. I don't think you got that as much this time around because they had many, many games so far since then with the Falcons, obviously, and some of the colleges. So, but it is a gorgeous place. If you know, just the brief amount of time that the media has been there, we've got a chance to walk around. It's Arthur Blank did a great job. I mean, it's an elite type of stadium, and I think one of those places. Also today, you and I had a chance to kind of catch up with Danny White, athletic director at UCF. Just kind of guy seemed very at ease today. Had the sunglasses on out in the bright sunny day. Seemed very chill, as they say. You know, kind of was ready to go. Like seemed to be kind of excited about. So talked a little bit about being excited about this game and getting ready to get things kicked off. What did you take from a little bit of our discussion?
Yeah, obviously there's excitement. This is a big moment for the school. it's even a big moment for him as an athletic director. He's a relatively young athletic director, and look at what he's been able to accomplish in a very short amount of time. You know, we talk about Scott Frost 0 to 100 real quick. Well, Danny White's been even quicker.
Yes.
So he's taken this program back to a level of prominence. He did mention that his dad is going to be coming in town. Obviously, his dad is the athletic director at Duke. Kevin White. So I think this is a big moment for the school all around, for him all around. I thought it was funny how when we were talking about when was the moment that you thought this team might go undefeated, I thought there was an interesting anecdote in there where you talked about, you know, how at games he's always nervous.
Yes.
He said, now if I'm really nervous and I'm moving around a lot.
Yes.
But if I feel confident, I'm standing in one spot.
Which is funny because I happened to be standing next to Danny at the Navy game at the very last couple minutes of that game, and he is right. There is a lot of nervous energy. He was kind of pacing around. He definitely had some of that, you know, and once UCF wrapped it up, when Bam Moore had the interception that sealed the game, the jubilance was like, you know, he really kind of got into that. It was very interesting. I think, to me, what I took from that also was he said the time that he thought that this team was going to be undefeated was the Maryland game, mm-hmm. which if you think about that, yeah. that's very early in the schedule, you know, to think. So there was a lot of confidence, obviously, on his part to say, you know, this is, we felt we could be this way. When you looked at the schedule and saw some of these games, that's even way before the Hurricane Irma stuff and everything. Yeah. So you had
I think Pat Jasinski said that too, actually, in the media availability, that he thought, I mean, you know, you don't want to sound overconfident, but they knew something special
yes.
was happening early
for game
on.
Being game two and realize we could be undefeated, you know, I mean, that just goes a long way. Yeah. I would have thought maybe down the road a little bit more, you know, a couple of games, but so that was kind of interesting. And then, you know, again, we had a little bit, I mean, Danny's gave us a nice enough to give us a little bit of time, and I think we got, you know, a good bit catch up with him. We'll have more definitely online at OrlandoSentinel.com and in the newspaper in the coming days. So tomorrow, which Sunday, because we're recording this on Saturday, head coach's availability. What do you think we'll get from this, if anything, from these two coaches who have probably spoken to the media a lot over the last couple weeks?
I'm going to say Sunday will probably be the least productive day. Listen, let's just keep it all the way 100. You know, Scott Frost is probably not going to do a bunch of talking, if not necessary. I mean, you know, he'll answer the questions that are given to him, obviously, but there's just not going to be a lot that I expect him to reveal. And they've been doing a lot of talking. So in fairness, at this point, there's really nothing else of substance to say. You know, the big game is coming up. Nobody wants to tip their hand on game plans, injuries, what to expect. So I imagine it's going to be a pretty vanilla day. With some pretty vanilla quotes.
Just experience from all the years I've done these in these big games, these kind of days, what we'll see on Sunday, are really kind of for TV. They're
right.
TV. They, you know, because this is the first time these guys maybe will get a soundbite that they can play. Print reporters like us, these days aren't really for us. They're more about, like, you know, unless there's something that some funny, and you know, someone says something funny that maybe you can use. Most of us have kind of ideas what we're going to write anyway, so we know before we even get into the situation
yeah.
what's going on. But you got to do it. You got to be there.
And it depends on the personalities of the coaches.
Yes, very
That's
much
a lot
so.
Of it. Like
Dabo a couple of years ago was really good in the post. You know, and it was really. You know, I've had, you know, Urban Meyer's been really good, but sometimes you get coaches who aren't very good because, like you said, they're guarded. They don't want to give you away anything else. They don't want to provide any bulletin board material either.
We've already had enough.
So, you know, and they're not going to tell about injuries. And that's something that most people right. want to know about is what's the, you know, I guarantee there'll be a question asked about being New Year's Eve. What are their plans? You know, what, you know, again, it's the night, big night before the game. Are they going to do anything? You know, most likely not. Most of those coaches and their staffs are probably going to be in bed quite early.
It's an early game.
It's an early game.
12:30,
it's a 12:30 kick, so they're not going to have a lot of time to do that. So there's a little bit uniqueness in that as well. But I expect it to just be a very kind of ho-hum kind of situation. But again, this is what happens when, you know, you're at these games and you have these opportunities.
Absolutely.
So for us, we'll be New Year's Eve as well. I'm sure we'll enjoy it at the media party that we're going to.
We'll enjoy the free alcohol.
The free alcohol. And the snacks.
Are you seeing a theme,
theme here? But I'm going to tell you right now, if there's anything that needs to be done, it needs to be a workout regime put here at the media room. Consider the amount of food that they...
Oh, my gosh.
I think it's every couple hours they've pretty much, like, shoved food in our face to try to
literally
eat.
Literally every... I feel like it's been, like, every 3 hours they've been bringing out fresh plates of food. Let me tell you what the breakfast spread was this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is what you really want to know about. I know. They had white cheddar grits. They had an omelet station with spinach and mushrooms and tomatoes and ham. They had different kind of coffee cakes and was it pound cake? I don't know. Probably was. Oatmeal pancakes.
Yes.
Bacon and sausage and potatoes. That was just breakfast. And then like 2 hours later, lunch was like chicken and sweet potatoes and... A wedge salad station. I've never seen a wedge salad station.
I think
that was first class.
I think yes, exactly. I think the Bulls done a great job first class with food. I think that's one of the things that always stands out because they know that media definitely are here, and it's a long day, and you're spending a lot of hours working, sitting at a table working and writing and stuff. So they want to make sure you have enough food. I think the candy in the lounge is the thing that you... It's so tempting, and you just try to stay away from it as much as you can.
I have not gotten any candy yet.
It's... The Twizzlers are my weakness, so I'm in there, like, getting Twizzlers, so... But anyways, enough about us and what we're eating and what we're going to look like afterwards.
10 pounds heavier.
Yes. Please subscribe to the podcast. Go to iTunes. Download it. Listen to it. Tell a friend. Review it. Do everything you need to do, and we'll have more at OrlandoSentinel.com in the coming days. Take care.
Thank you for listening to UCF Knights Talk, your podcast home for the latest on the UCF Knights. For more UCF coverage, visit OrlandoSentinel.com. Subscribe to this podcast, share it on social media, and review it on iTunes.